Okay, thanks for the introduction. So I'm gonna. You can think of this as a continuation of Matt Emerton's talk. So first, let me remind you of some. I'm going to use the same notation he did. So there was this tower of Shimura varieties that are associated to some reductive algebraic group G over Q with some extra data, and they are indexed by open compact subgroups of the finite abelian points of G, and these things are, at least if this K is small enough, are just smooth algebraic varieties over something he called E, which is a number field embedded in C, and it's the reference field. And the most important property of E is that it is independent of the level K. And then he introduced this H star et, which is the limit over all levels of the Eladic et al. Cohomology of these Shimura varieties, base change to an algebraic closure of E. So I'm just going to take the algebraic closure in C, and this has an action of the absolute Galois group of E and of the finite abelian points of the group. And then of course you can write, for example, HK at kth degree as a sum over irreducible representations of GF of pi F tensor, something that I'm going to call sigma k pi f, and then the question is, what is this? So I said this is a continuation of Matt Emerton's talk, but the focus is a little bit different between, because in Emerton's talk it was about using this kind of calculations to construct Galois representations associated to some cuspid automorphic representations of GLM. And in my talk, I want to talk more generally about the problem of describing this thing in general. So what if we don't just care about Galois representations, but we care about calculating, for example, the zeta function of a Shimura variety? And there is a general strategy to attack this kind of problem, and in its simplest form, it's been carried out by, I'm not so good on early history. I think Lomont always says it's the strategy of Ihara, Langlands, and Kotwitz. So the articles I have actually read about this is Kotwitz and then Crozel. And I'm going to present this strategy first in the case of compact Shimura varieties. So let's assume that these Shimura varieties are, or I should say proper, and of course if one of them is proper, they're all proper because they're just all finite coverings of each other. Okay, so the first point was already mentioned in Emerton's talk, is that we already have a pretty good idea of what this group is as a representation of G of AF. So this thing is isomorphic to the Ram cohomology, which is just the inverse limit, the limit of all the Ram cohomology group of the complex points of the Shimura varieties, and here I chose an isomorphism of Q over with C without saying it sneakily. Okay, and this thing is just a direct sum over some irreducible representations pi of, so that irreducible representations of G of A of something that I will have no room to write. Okay. Oh boy. Okay. So what's in the sum? You have the, so this representation pi. Is this microphone working? Okay. This is the tensor product of representation of the R points and the representation of the finite ideal points. You have this pi f here, and then a multiplicity, and the multiplicity is just this GK cohomology of the infinite part times the multiplicity of pi in some representation, where okay, how do we know which representations appear and with which multiplicity? We have to look at this quotient. Actually, I think there is some part here that you didn't write. But this is really a detail. It's the connected component of the R points of the split part of the center of G, and it's just the central thing that is here to make this whole thing have finite volume. So in an introduction, it's okay to just ignore it. Okay. But more importantly, what are these pi's appearing here? They are the representations that appear as direct factors of this L2 space. It's the action of G of A by right translations, and the multiplicities are their multiplicities here. And in this case, well, G is up to the center and isotropic over Q, so these are just all cuspid automorphic representations of G. Oh, and this, he said, this is the complexified Lie algebra of G. This is the complexification of the maximal compact subgroup of G of R. Okay. So already, and when I write this equality, this is as representations of G of AF. So already you know how G of AF acts, and you know the dimension, at least in theory, you know the dimension of this sigma k here. And then Emmeton mentioned in the case where pi infinity is tempered, but that actually generalizes to all the pi's, there is a conjectural description of this sigma k pi f. So it is a little more complicated if k is not the middle degree, but nevertheless it exists, which is very good because it means we just have to check something, not guess something. So how would we check it? Well, one way to check it is we have a representation of this absolute Galois group of E, G, E, so we could look at the traces of elements on this absolute Galois group on sigma k, and that will give me the sigma k of pi f up to semi-simplification, but it's conjectured to be semi-simple anyway. So that's great, doesn't look like I did a lot. Or I could also look at well, instead of looking at just the trace on one sigma k pi f, I can look at the trace of a product, like this, an element of the absolute Galois group times some element of G of AF, or some element, or even some locally constant function with compact support on G of AF acting on this full cohomology group, because if I can calculate that, I can use this S to separate the different pi f isotypical components. That's good. And now actually what's going to be even easier to calculate is the trace on the full cohomology, which is an alternate sum, sum with the sum of minus 1 to the k trace on this hk. So why is it basically the same to calculate this or to calculate that? Because the Val conjectures, actually, I'm not sure, in this case it might just be Val 1, never mind. So the lines, by the line, we know the Val conjectures that tell us the eigenvalues of Frobenius on HK have absolute value q to the k over 2, where q is some power of p that we know how to calculate. So that means we can actually separate the different HKs. In particular, there is not going to be any cancellation, and we can, at least in theory, get them if we know what this guy is like. So why did I want to go to this guy? Well, this is the second point to calculate this. You can use the Lefschetz six-point formula. Okay, so this is the trace of some operator on the cohomology of a variety, or maybe it's a limit. Yeah, so what is nice if I take an operator like this is that actually I'm reduced to a finite level. So it's just a trace of some operator on the cohomology, and the Lefschetz fixed point formula tells me this is a lot like counting fixed points. Of course, it is not so simple. So the second point would be to actually find a form of the Lefschetz fixed point formula that will allow you to calculate these traces you want. There is this thing called the Lins conjecture that tells you basically if you twist this with high powers of Frobenius at good reduction places, then the Lefschetz fixed point formula is going to be as simple as it could be. And this is not a conjecture. It was proved by Fujiwara. Okay. So this would be point 2. Allows you to reduce to counting. Sorry. I should not be so quick. Okay, so in the simplest case, it's going to give you something very very easy. So in the simplest case, that means f, this function, is the product of a function outside of p, with p some prime number, and of the trivial operator at p, so the characteristic function of a hyperspecial subgroup. So in particular, I'm supposing that this g is unramified at p, and tau is in the decomposition group of a place of e over p, and the Shimura variety has good reduction at p, this place. I'm blurring my two p's because then we'll never appear again. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay, let me call it q. So this is, what can I say? Okay, this is in theory enough to totally determine h knowing the trace of things like that is in theory enough to totally determine the cohomology. And I say in theory because that means assuming you know already the local Langlands correspondence and you know the outer conjectures and all that. If you actually want to use the cohomology of Shimura varieties to prove the local Langlands correspondence, you have to do more work and actually look at what happens when you add some, maybe, operators at P. And Segwu will probably talk about that. But let me pretend this is the simplest case. And then in this case, what we reduce to is just reduced to counting points of the Shimura variety over some finite field. So over some FQ that are fixed. By some Hecker operators. So that would be free. And this is something that we know how to do in many cases thanks to Kotwitz. So Kotwitz is okay. Okay for P or Shimura varieties of type A and C, so that means Shimura varieties that are modular spaces of abelian varieties with additional structures, and although G doesn't shouldn't be an orthogonal group because we don't like orthogonal groups for some reason. But I don't know how advanced. I heard that new results should come in more general cases like Hodge type case, but I don't know how far they are. And in any case, there is also a conjecture, a general conjecture about this number of points, which is good. So that would be, oops, no. Great. Okay, so suppose you can do that. All right. So Kotwitz, okay, I should say that it sounds a bit stupid like this because what does it mean counting points? So basically what you're doing is some generalization of Hondo-Tate theory. Hondo-Tate theory will tell you how to count abelian varieties over finite fields, but then you have to add all these conditions, level structures, polarizations, stable by Hecker operators and all that. So Kotwitz shows how to do that, and you get an expression that looks a lot like the geometric side of the trace formula. So here it comes. That means you have orbital integrals and things like that. So now part 4 is go from looks like to is. Okay, so looking like the geometric side of the trace formula is not good enough. We want to actually compare it to the geometric side of the trace formula. So this is usually called I don't know what it's sometimes called stabilization or pseudo-stabilization because it looks a lot like stabilizing the trace formula, but not quite. There are some complications. The complications at infinity, for example, are different. And what you get is you get something that is a sum of geometric sides of the stable trace formula for G and its endoscopic groups. So I should say something. So its endoscopic groups, I think Mike Emerton talked about that too. They're going to appear because of the way, right, the conjectural description for this works. So the conjectural description he gave works very well where this, when this pi has a Langlands parameter that doesn't factor through any smaller subgroup, basically, of the dual group of G. And then when it does factor, well, in this case, we don't have to care about non-cuspidal representations because this is the case where G is anisotropic, but we do have to care about the ones that come from endoscopic groups of G. And so, yeah, and this is why the stable trace formula for endoscopic groups appear here. But I want to talk as little as possible about that part. Oh, great. And I should say, Clausewitz also tells us how to do that. And this is where the fundamental lemma appears. So every time you have a result like this four, you have to say, this only works because we know the fundamental lemma by the work of lots and lots of people, including Hales, Ngul, Lomo, Vespuge, and I'm sorry if I forgot somebody. We use the base change fundamental lemma, so I should say Cotwitz, Causel, Labesse, etc. Okay, and five is enjoy. So that means now you look at what the spectral side of the trace formula is and you try to play with the expression you got. So, what? Yes. So this, what this is going to say, if you know Arthur's conjecture, which is actually going to give you a very precise form of the spectral side of the stable trace formula, then you will enjoy a lot more because it's going to give you the stable multiplicity formulas in general, in particular. So Arthur's conjectural description of these representations, which ones are stable, which ones come from endoscopic groups, what their multiplicities are and all that. Okay. So now after this small review, let's talk about the general case. Okay, right. So what happens in the non-proper case, or the non-compact case, if you want. So we have this thing, but it does, in general, it's not proper for symplectic groups, it's not proper for unitary groups, it depends on the signature at infinity. In many cases, it's not proper. So what do we do? Well, we can certainly still define this sigma k pi f and wonder what they are. And the cohomology doesn't care that the variety is proper or not, at least I can still write the cohomology. So what will change? First, let me tell you what will change and then let me give you more details. So the first step, which I have just erased, of course, or not. The first step is going to change. I don't remember what the first step was, but it's going to change. Right, the first step was the description using automorphic representations of the cohomology. This certainly will have to change. I will tell you how. The second step, the Lefschetz formula, well, it depends on what we do in the first step, of course, but this will also have to change, maybe. Three, well, Clausewitz result, once we reduce to counting points in Shimura varieties, Clausewitz result actually doesn't need the compactness hypothesis. So 3 is not going to change very much. If we can use it, 3 is counting points over finite fields. Kotwitz doesn't need the varieties to be proper or anything. 4 is going to change a little. So the stabilization is going to get a little more complicated, mostly at the infinite place. But this is not the thing that changes most drastically. It is something you can guess how to do. It's just, okay, I wrote a whole book about it. It's technically complicated, but there's never a doubt that I would finish the book, except in my mind. Okay, 5 is going to be basically the same. Because in 5, well, you could say, okay, the group is not an isotropic anymore, but what do you care? I mean, even if the group is an isotropic, its endoscopic groups are not an isotropic, so you will have to be able to manipulate the stable trace formula for non-isotropic groups if you want to do 5, even in the compact case. So 5 is not going to look very different in the compact and non-compact case, which is why Sagu was a lot of help to me, because he's doing the compact case and still I could steal all his ideas for 5. Yes. Yes. Of course, all endoscopic groups are quasi-split. Yes. So the ones that are really different are 1 and 2. So what do we do with 1 and 2? There are several things you could do here. So assume I'm trying to generalize 2, which is, okay, I'm going to try to calculate this cohomology by using some kind of Lefschetz fixed point formula. The most natural thing to do here, what is the Lefschetz fixed point formula going to give me? Well, Lefschetz plus Fujiwara's theorem is going to give me some formula to calculate the trace of an element of the Galois group times the Hecker operator on the cohomology with compact support. Well, this thing is just the limit of all ideal cohomology with compact support at finite levels. Okay, well, you know, why not? The cohomology with compact support is just, after all, the dual of the cohomology without compact support, up to some twist, so it doesn't much matter which one I calculate. So I could say, well, let's write this HKC as a sum over pi f of pi f tensor sigma KC of pi f, and then let's try to calculate the sigma KC of pi f. So here I'm going to run into trouble, but first let me tell you, there is some part of this, well, let's just call it cuspidal cohomology. Well, there is some part of this that at least we understand conjecturally. The part that corresponds to the pi f's that are finite parts of cuspidal representations of G, which is not everything now, is in here, and for this sigma kc has the same conjectural description as in the compact case. But now the problem is, as far as I know, we don't have any idea what this is there. No, so I was going to say that, yes. So for pi f that is not a finite part of a cuspidal representation, I don't think we really know what this thing is supposed to be. And why is that? Because the whole list of problems with that, first, okay, first, I don't think there is any simple automorphic description of this complex spot cohomology. This is an article of Franke that proves something called Bress conjecture that says we can use automorphic forms to describe this. But his description is quite complicated, so nothing as simple as in the compact case. And so if I try to, if I calculate something like this, and I try to compare to Archer trace formula, it's going to be very hard. It's, well, I don't really know what I'm going to get. So normally I should get some terms that correspond to the cuspidal part, and then I should get a lot of other terms that I don't know what to do with. So Le Monde did it for GSP4, but he suffered a lot. Although, yeah. And then even if I can calculate the traces, well, these things have no reason to be semi-simple. The reason we expect them to be semi-simple in the compact case is that they correspond to pure, they come from pure motifs. In this case, they come from mixed motifs. Mixed motifs are not semi-simple in general. So we can guess, oops, should I do that? Even if we calculate the trace, we will only get the semi-simplification, and maybe there are some very interesting extensions that we will miss. Actually, I'm not sure we expect interesting extensions. Yeah, we do? Okay. And we'll totally miss them by this method. And then, last problem, also related to the non-purity of the motif, is that the fixed point formula is going to give me is going to give me the H star, this compact support, as an object, as a an object in the Grotendieck group. How do I separate the different H keys? Because I don't know that they are pure, well, they are not pure representations of the Galois group, so I can't separate them by weights, and in fact, there could be cancellations, for I know, and I don't think we even know that these things are independent of L in general. Okay. So, that's a lot of problems. So this is a very, so calculating this cohomology with compact support is a very interesting problem. It's very hard, and as far as I know, wide open in general. And I don't know. I'm not going to say any more about it. It's too hard for me. So let's try another approach. Instead of trying to generalize, the left-shaped fixed point formula and go from there, let's try to generalize the automorphic description of the cohomology and go from there. So, one was the description of the cohomology of a compact Shimura variety using automorphic representations, Matsushima's formula. So what is the problem that we're going to have? We used automorphic representations that appear in this L2 space, G of A over G of Q, basically. So this L2 space still makes sense, no problem, but now it does not decompose as a discrete direct sum of representations, or even as a complete discrete direct sum of representations. There is a discrete part and a non-discrete part. So the discrete part is the one that is, yeah, I forgot the hat before, is the one that is a completely direct sum of pi's to some finite multiplicities, m pi, and the pi's that appear here are called discrete automorphic representations. Of G. And the non-discrete part, we also know how to describe it, well, in theory, I guess, but there are continuous direct sums. And it's, anyway, it's not going to appear. Thank God. So now, just as L2, this L2 space contains more stuff than what we really want to use, the DRAM cohomology is also, the DRAM complex, we are also going to want to make it a bit smaller. So here's a So it's going to generalize my Tsushima's formula is a theorem of Borel and Castleman. Let's look at this thing, which is called L2 cohomology. So this is the direct limit of L2 cohomology of the Shimura varieties at level k, and this is one thing. Okay, this is the cohomology of the complex of differential forms omega on the Shimura variety, such that omega n d omega are L2. So usually, just saying we take the cohomology of the complex of L2 differential forms. And this is called L2 cohomology. And this guy is, so it has an action of this GF and is isomorphic to the sum over all discrete pi's of pi F tensor, this GK cohomology of pi infinity to the M pi. Okay, so if, well, many ways to say that. The way I see this is that you generalize the right-hand side of my Tsushima's formula in the non-compact case. It corresponds to this strange cohomology of the Shimura variety, which is called L2 cohomology. Now, well, the obvious objection is that L2 cohomology is not at all algebraic. It's not the entire cohomology of something. So where's the Galois action? Okay, so what I like about this case is in the other, when I was talking before about cohomology with complex support, there were lots of objections and I couldn't answer, but here there are lots of objections, but they all have answers. Almost all. Okay, so first objection, yeah, this is cohomology of differential forms, whereas the comparison isomorphism, the DRAM cohomology is isomorphic to the BT cohomology, which is isomorphic to the Etal cohomology of the constant shift. What's the analog for that? What is the analog for that? It's due to, well, I'm going to give you the extra condensed version. So I think some of these names should actually appear twice because there are some articles that are written by one person, some articles that are written by two persons, but let's just write it like this. So What do these people give me? They give me a complex of sheaves. Let's call it ICK. And the Shimura. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I forgot a step. I should look at my notes more. Right, so this L2 cohomology is going to be the cohomology of something, some sheaf, or rather complex of sheaves, but not on the Shimura variety. It's going to be on the compactification. So let me just give a name to this. This is the Bailey-Borel compactification, also known as the minimal compactification, also known as the minimal Satake compactification, also known as the Bailey-Borel-Satake compactification. I'm going to call it SHK star. So this is the compactification of the Shimura variety. It has the great virtue of being defined over E by pink, and well, it's projective. It's normal, it's not much more. It's projective, but it's not smooth in general. Very far from smooth. But it does, it is canonical in that it inherits, the tower of this compactification inherits an action of G of AF. So the Shimura variety does have some smooth compactifications, but they depend on some choices. Okay, so we have this compactification, and what this guy here gives us, well, this is Goreski-McPherson. They constructed this complex on any reasonable space, and it's called the intersection complex. And what the last four people give us is an isomorphism of L2 cohomology with what I'm going to call intersection cohomology, which will be the limit over all k of the cohomology. Of the intersection complex. Okay, so I said this is the extra condensed version because what actually Goreski-McPherson did was develop the general theory of intersection cohomology. You don't need to be a Shimura variety for this. And then some people conjectured, it's usually attributed to Zucker, the conjecture that the intersection cohomology of the minimal compactification of a Shimura variety should be isomorphic to the L2 cohomology as a module over G of AF. And then this was proved at least three times by Luyenga, Rapoport, and Saperstein. So it's probably true. Okay, and this is still not, still doesn't have an action of the Galois group. So this is where we need these three guys. Berlinson, Bernstein, and Deligne gave an et al. Is an analytic construction of this intersection complex guy. So over any field, in particular over E, so that means, and of course the comparison theorem, that means I can define something that is Italian intersection cohomology, which carries an action of the absolute Galois group of E and of this GAF. And as a module of a GAF is isomorphic to L2 cohomology. So as this description here. So let me write. Let me give a name to the Galois representations. Well, I can just write IHK is the sum of pi f tensor sigma IH of pi f. Okay. Great. Then. So the fact that this is actually the cohomology of a complex of sheaves means also the fact that this complex of sheaves is canonical enough that the action of the Hecker operators will lead to it tells me that I will be able to use the same kind of Lefschetz fixed point formula arguments, maybe more complicated, but in theory I can still use the Lefschetz fixed point formula to calculate traces of Hecker operators and Galois elements on this guy. And here's the bonus. And actually Gaber tells me that this IH intersection cohomology is pure, which is pure in the sense of VEL2, which means in particular that I can separate the different cohomology groups just using the weights of Frobenius elements. So that's good. Actually, it's supposed to be the realization of a pure motif, although in general we don't know how to construct a pure motif. Okay. So now here's the problem. There's still a problem. I mean, there are several problems. The first problem, you can tell me, well, you were talking about ordinary cohomology and now you're just talking about intersection cohomology, what the hell, but let's assume intersection cohomology is an interesting object. Oh, look, I'll tell you what it's, why it's an interesting object, actually. So there exists a conjectural description of this sigma k ih of pi. That generalizes. This the one of sigma k pi f in the compact case. Which means if you take the description of the compact case and you erase G anisotropic everywhere, you basically get the description of the conjectural description of this guy. So if you're from this point of view, it's really the correct generalization of the compact case, although I don't want to say that this is the only way to go. Okay. Now here's the problem. Before that, it was very easy to calculate things like traces of operators on cohomology with compact support, but I've replaced cohomology with compact support with cohomology of this intersection complex, and I haven't even told you what the intersection complex is. So the problem is, well, so if I want to calculate something like this, to apply the Lefschetz fixed point formula, I need to know knowing what the Stokes of this intersection complex are like would be nice, because the Lefschetz fixed point formula in its nicest form will tell me, well, you know, you just look at the fixed points, and for each fixed point you look at the trace of some operator that is basically a power of Frobenius maybe on the Stoke. And if it when it was a constant sheaf, the trace on the Stoke was just one. But now this is not a constant sheaf anymore. Suddenly Lefschetz has BUTs. And how would you do that? So first I need a closer look at this very liberal compactification, not too close, don't worry. The only thing I need, the only thing I want to know is what the boundary looks like a little bit. So the boundary of this is going to be a disjoint union. This is as a set, not as a topological spacer, anything over maximal parabolic subgroups of G of finite disjoint union of things of the form Shimura variety of associated to some group GP with some space FP, and this GP is a subgroup of the Levy quotient of P, what we call the Hermitian part. So these Shimura varieties are usually of the same type as this one. If this one is a symplectic Shimura variety, these are symplectic Shimura varieties. This one is a unitary Shimura variety, these are unitary Shimura varieties. And these things are what we call the boundary strata. Of course, the hard part is not telling you there are boundary strata, but telling you how they fit together, which I'm not going to do. And now, what we need also is a closer look at this mysterious intersection complex guy. So here's the first try. Well, Deligne has given a very nice and explicit formula actually for this. Let's look at the, so I need some notation, let's look at the Shimura variety and let's embed it in, let's say, this SHK1, this will be the Shimura variety union, the strata of maximum dimension. This will be J1, and then I can embed this in this SH1 union, all the strata of maximum dimension in whatever's left. And so on, until I finally get to the deliberate compactification in R steps, R being the rank, the semi-simple rank of the group. And then what Deligne tells us is that this intersection complex, how do I construct it? Probably need a lot of space for this. Well, I start, the intersection complex is always the constant sheaf on the smooth part. So I start with the constant sheaf on the Shimura variety. And then I take its direct image to this thing, a derived direct image. So it's still the constant sheaf on the Shimura variety, and then at this boundary strata, there are some complexes of sheaves that actually we know how to calculate. But this I truncate. So this is truncation by degree, by cohomology degree. That means these complexes on the boundary strata, I'm going to cut off everything that's higher than a certain degree. Which, well, we still know how to do. But then I extend again to the next step and I truncate again. Always by degree, and I go on like that until I get to the last step. And all these degrees are explicit. If I weren't afraid, I think they are just the codimensions of the of this strata. But and this is, well, this is great because pink tells us So Pink tells us how to calculate something like this, this direct image of the constant shift on the Shimura variety, or at least tells us how to calculate it when I restrict to the boundary strata. And it is very easy to calculate this first truncation guy. So here's when the trouble starts. So the problem is the second step. When I try to calculate direct image of something like that, the best I can do, at least, is write it as the cone of some map in the derived category. That means, basically, I can write it in the Grothendieck group. Well, the easiest thing is to write it as a class in the Grothendieck group, or even as a cone, if you want, which is more precise. But this truncation operator here does not respect cones. It's not triangulated. In other words, it does not descend to the Grothendieck group. So at this point, when you apply the second truncation operator, you're stuck. So this is why, let me just say it. This is why this method works great for rank one groups, and actually, well, it's for rank one groups, this intersection complex. We can calculate it as a complex. This was done, well, for example, for GU21 at West Coast and Rapoport. I think Rapoport generalized to general to all the rank one groups, at least when the coefficients are constant. And for the case of GL2 was known before. GL2 is rank one, non-compact. The most important Shimura varieties are not compact. Just a remark. Right. But this method seems to fail for higher rank Shimura varieties. I think I was able to make it work for constant coefficients GU22, and then I lost the calculations anyway. Well, okay, so here's the second try. So the second try is going to follow the strategy of Goreski, Harder, and McPherson. So what does, and I have, not a long time to explain it. So you look at this Bailey-Borel guy, which is this very singular thing, and it has, so algebraically, we don't know any resolution of singularities that is canonical, but topologically we know something that is usually called the reductive Borel cell compactification. This is a partial resolution of singularities, which is canonical. So it does have singularities, but it's not a variety. This is why I put the RBS here. It's just some kind of sub-analytic space. But it does have an action of the Hecker operators. And what these guys do is they construct some complex here such that the intersection complex is isomorphic to the direct image of this complex. And, well, that's kind of stupid. What is this complex like? Let me tell you about reductive Borel serre. Reductive Borel serre also has a stratification of its boundary, but it's indexed by all parabolic subgroups of G, and the strata are just locally symmetric spaces for the Levy. And then the map here just scrunches up everything that is not in the Hermitian part. And the way to get these things, WK, is, well, first you look at well, you look at this RJ lower star of the constant chief on the Shimura variety, and the intersection complex is some kind of truncation of it, but you don't know really know how to truncate. Well, you know how to truncate, but you don't know how to use this. So on the reductive Borel-Stark complexification, they are actually able to find an explicit complex representing this, not just an object. Then, very explicit, using differential forms with some conditions on the Shimura variety. Okay, great. Okay, I erased what I did not want to erase. I'm very good. And in particular, this complex, if I restrict it to one boundary stratum of the reductive Borel-Stark complexification, it has an action of the split part of the center of this Levy quotient. And so now what they do is that they truncate by the weights of these torus. So truncate by the weights of this on each stratum to get this WK, which they call weighted cohomology. And if you choose the right cutoffs, then the direct image of this guy will be the intersection complex. You choose different cutoffs, you will get intersection complexes for other perversities, actually. Great. So this is good, but it is not algebraic. The reductive Borel-Stark complexification is not a variety. This description, I mean, differential forms, this is absolutely not et al. So what do you do? Well, there's another remark. If I don't know if I'm saying it very well, but you look at this action of this torus on this guy, and if you look at the image of this guy on the Belli Borel complexification, the action of this torus is going to somehow correspond to the action of Frobenius elements on stalks of this complex, and okay, as far as I know, the first place where this kind of observation was used was this article of Luyenga Rapoport where they proved Zucker's conjecture. And now the idea is replace this truncation that they do by truncation by weights in the sense of L2 on Belli Borel itself. Okay, and the reason I shouldn't have erased is that I'm going to use exactly the same diagram as before. So this, there was this diagram you get where you add the strata by batches. First you add the strata with the maximum dimension, and then you add the strata with the maximum dimension in whatever is left, and etc. And the intersection complex, you're going to get it. Now, et al. In analytically, I mean, in a way very similar to the Lin's way, but this time you replace the truncations by degree by truncations by weight. Where also the cutoffs are explicit. And what this means is that this is a truncation by weight, where this time weight means Frobenius weight, and you keep only the part of which less than or equal to A1, or at least that's what you want to do. But if you want these things to be defined as functors on the triangulated category, what you actually do is you keep only the part that has perverse cohomology of which less than or equal to A1. And same after that. Okay, so as I'm already over time, I'll just tell you. Okay, well, is that good? Is that this is just, this looks very obscure in general, and in general it is, but for these sheaves that appear here, thanks to King's theorem, this is just as easy to calculate as truncation by degree. But this thing descends to Grotthian group, because I put the same cutoffs in all perverse cohomology degrees. So instead of having to calculate complexes, I can just work with their classes in Grotthian groups, where everything becomes very explicit. And the output, well, if you don't want to be in the Grotthian group, you're just going to have a bunch of spectral sequences. The output is either you have a bunch of spectral sequences that give you intersection cohomology in terms of compact support cohomology on the Shimura varieties and all the boundary strata, or you have another bunch of spectral sequences that give you compact support cohomology in terms of intersection cohomology on the Shimura variety and all the strata. So if you use the first thing, you can actually now reduce to Cauchy's counting points formula and just apply the rest of the machine. It's just bookkeeping. If you use the second thing, I'm not sure what you can do. Thank you.